Good morning and welcome on this Memorial Day Sunday. How great it is to be together. And if you're visiting with us, we extend a very special welcome to you. And please remember to register your attendance on the pads that are provided for us. Just highlight a couple of the announcements. Vacation Bible School, June 22nd through the 26th. There's information in your bulletin. It's a wonderful time for us to be in outreach to the community. So invite your friends and family and neighbors to come and be a part of this. Also, the youth news. Look at that. The youth will be going to the Travelers game tonight. But there's a lot of great activities going on in the life of the church. And let's take a moment and greet one another. Call to worship. May those who love your salvation say continually, "Great is the Lord." Yea, our heart is glad in God because we trust in God's holy name. Let us make a joyful noise to God with songs of praise. We praise you, O God. We acknowledge you to be the Lord. Unite in this historic confession of our Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Response. How's everybody this morning? Good. I'm so glad. Are y'all having a wonderful Memorial Day weekend? Yes. Well, good. I'm so glad. This morning, I want to talk about change. So I've brought a couple of items to see if you know what I'm talking about. Here we go. The first item is, what might this be? A light bulb. Okay, so we had light bulbs like this, okay? And so it gives out a lot of energy and a lot of light, correct? But things have changed to a new type of light bulb. Do you know what kind of light bulb that is? What do you think? The twisty kind. That is correct. So now we have a squirmy light bulb because it saves more energy, doesn't it? So I'm sure, and see, they're going to not make these anymore, and now you're going to have to buy these. And so do a lot of your parents have these in their house? Yeah, they do, don't they? What are some other things that change? What about clothes? Do clothes change? Yeah, but we sometimes bring things back, don't we? We do. There are some things that are coming back that have changed. What about trees? Trees change, don't they? They grow leaves. Winter comes, they lose their leaves, and now they're growing back their leaves. What else changes? What does? Leaves change. They change color. Change of mind. Okay. So there's a lot of things that change. Do we change? We do, don't we, Colin? We change from day to day to day. We get taller. We get our feet grow. So that means we have to change our shoes because they get smaller. So there's a lot of things that change. But do you know what? Who doesn't change at all? Jesus doesn't. Do you know what it says in the Bible? That he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so there is no change in how he loves us. He loves us the same as he did yesterday, as he is today, and as he is tomorrow. He's going to love us just the same. So as we are changing and things are changing, and that can be a little scary, I want you to remember that Jesus is the same for us yesterday, today, and tomorrow. All right, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for today. It's a little scary with all the changes around us, but we will always remember that you are always the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. In your Son's holy name, we pray. Amen.
Oh,
As we prepare our hearts and minds for prayer, we remember those on our prayer list and those of our church family that are traveling this holiday weekend. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. This is a day, you know, that we set aside in this country to remember those who have died in our wars. From every family and church and community in America, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of names to be remembered. May we take time and space to remember and to appreciate the extreme sacrifices that have been made for us. And at the same time, may we use this occasion not only to remember our fallen, but also remember that every time we go to war, we fail to find a better way to solve our problems. It seems that there are times when we have no better choice but to fight. My prayer, and I hope your prayer, is that ways will be found and will be used so that future generations will have no empty places in their churches or around their tables. Let us pray. Eternal God, as Americans, we want to thank you for this great country. We're not proud, but humbled that in your divine sovereignty you created such a nation as this. Thank you for those serving and who have served in the military that protect this country of ours. Thank you for those men and women in our military services who were willing to give their lives and who gave their lives to fight to keep this country free. Oh God, on this Memorial Day weekend, and as citizens of this great country, and as people of faith, we're asked to remember and reflect on the sacrifices made by so many over so many years and in so many wars, and sometimes with so little recognition. We're asked to think about and consider what those sacrifices have meant, not only for our freedom, but for what's truly important in life. And we're grateful today, more grateful than we can say, for those who've given their lives for something larger than themselves, for a higher purpose, for a cause that's still worth fighting for today. We thank you that we can enjoy these benefits of their sacrifice and pray that we will never, ever take what we have for granted. And on this weekend, we also remember the people of Bologna and Mayflower, as well as those around the country and world who have faced disasters and loss. For the families who lost loved ones, for the parents of the children who lost their lives, for the people who lost homes and possessions and pets and everything they spent a lifetime accumulating. And we're grateful, too, for those who've responded and for those who are there now, for those who will work to put things back together. And even though all the best relief work will never make things as they were, we're grateful to live in a society where there is compassion for those in need, where we still come to the aid of our neighbor, and where a tragedy for some becomes a tragedy for all. And we also remember the families of our troops, and we ask for your unique blessing to fill their homes, and we pray your peace, provision, and strength will fill their lives. And may the members of our armed forces be supplied with courage to face each day. Loving God, let our military brothers and sisters feel our love and support. And we also thank you, Father, for reminding us that remembrance is not enough. Helping them, helping one another, is the Christian family's calling. May you guide us into the best way of helping others. And closer to home, we pray for our own community, for our church, and especially for our church members who face illness and surgery and recovery and sometimes uncertain futures. We pray for healing. We pray for healing in body, mind, and spirit. We pray for healing that allows us to come together and learn from the past and move forward stronger and more determined than ever to shape and make a world where we will lay down the arms of war and turn our swords into plowshares for a harvest of justice and peace. Oh God, as we leave here today, may we know that we have been in your presence and that in that life-giving presence we have been changed. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I visited with Brother Nathan Saturday afternoon, and we talked about Valonia and their needs. There's still a need for volunteers to help with the debris removal, and as you know and as you've heard on the news, the volunteerism is beginning to slack off just a little bit. There's also a need for volunteers to help prepare lunch for the teams that are working. What we decided to do is he will be sending me the food coordinator's contact information, and also around the first of the week, he will also send me a text message of the volunteer needs for that week, and then we'll send out a constant contact on that. I asked him about the church and the parsonage, and he told me that the insurance company is still assessing the damage and loss to the building. And as soon as that process is completed, Nathan will let us know what we can do to help in the restoration process. So we will continue to keep them in our prayers, and we'll be on the lookout for those opportunities to help and to serve our brothers and sisters. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you so much for allowing us to be your people, to be called to love one another, to feed the hungry, to help the homeless, to visit the prisons, to comfort the sick. May all that we do, all that we say, and all that we share reflect your love to a hurting world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Standing for our hymn of meditation, hymn 697, America, My Country, 'Tis of Thee.
Thank you. those wondering, who have been asking themselves, when is this guy going to get married? It seems like forever since we heard about that. And the wedding day is in 13 days. So to save everyone 100 questions for asking me, I just thought I'd tell you from here. So we continue on, and we read from our scripture passage this morning, which comes to us from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. And as these words are read aloud, may they rest upon our hearts and minds in a fresh and new way. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured, as though yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us bow for a brief moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. There's a story of an American soldier in World War II who was in a German village taking refuge in a house. And he got a radio signal from his captain telling him to change positions and to find another place where he could hide. And so the young man looked around him to make sure everything around him was clear. And he rushed out of the house, but as he made his way down the street, a sniper shot him in the leg. And so he went down, and there are other shots being fired, and there's a smoke bomb being thrown, and it's filled with all of the smoke. Meanwhile, while all this is going on, his father in the States has this weird and odd and anxious feeling come over him. A feeling that his son is not safe, there's something wrong. And he tries to find the words to pray to God for protection for his son, but the words don't come out right. A little bit longer, he's still struggling with his anxious spirit, trying to find the words that he could pray to God for protection for his son. And finally, he comes to the words he wants to use. God, I pray that you would send help and aid to my son with whatever danger or harm he is in. While the fighting has been going on, it's been 2.5 hours, and the wounded man is still on the ground. And suddenly, as bullets are flying everywhere, two of his comrades rush into the smoke and are able to take him out quickly and get him to safety. You see, the father's prayer of help, it was there. And what's marvelous about this is the great strength of these two comrades of this young man who were willing to risk their own lives, their own safety, to make sure that their fellow man was safe and sound. And isn't that what we celebrate this weekend? We celebrate those folks who would risk everything and who have risked everything, and some who have paid the ultimate price. And we thank them and we ponder of the characteristics they possess. But you know, also today, as Christians, we also examine those folks who were faithful in the past. Those Christians who gave their lives for everything for God. And one that comes to my mind that's a powerful testimony is Saint Ignatius of Antioch. Now, many of you may not be familiar with this person, but he was a bishop in the late 1st century and early 2nd century. And he was very prominent in a time where Bishop Trajan, I mean, emperor, he was far from a bishop. Emperor Trajan was a brutal emperor and would, at any opportunity, seek to persecute and torture and kill Christians at a time where the Christian movement was flourishing. But the authorities were able to arrest Saint Ignatius, and he was asked, if you renounce your faith, if you give up what you believe, if you refuse to believe it, we will let you go free. But he refused. He refused, and he persevered. And he stood in the middle of the Colosseum, thousands watching, and these wild beasts were sent to attack and kill him. But he stood strong in his faith. Those are the people we admire, don't we? And so I believe this is a time where we look at what characteristics, what way of living they possessed in their life, what we might take and put in our own hearts. And the first, my brothers and sisters, starts with courage. It takes courage to face in front of a full force of weapons that seek to destroy you, people who seek to have you dead. It takes courage to stand with the strength of your faith while wild beasts are growling and anxious to devour you. The thing about courage is that it's something we learn, but we learn it from God. God is the one who gives us that courage. When I reflect on a character in the Bible who went from somewhat of a cowardly person to a person of great courage, I think of Moses. Think of Moses at the burning bush. God is telling him all these things he wants him to do, to go and free the Israelites, to stand up to Pharaoh. But do you think Moses is that courageous at that time? Far from it. Not only does he not want to go back because he killed a guard previously, but who would want to stand face to face in front of the most powerful man in Egypt? The wondrous thing about the story of Moses, the story of Exodus for me, is this transformation of Moses throughout his life. All these events that he's had to participate in, through all these plagues, the traveling through the Red Sea, into the wilderness, and make an impact on him. They start to change him into a courageous leader to the point where on top of Mount Sinai, where he has received the covenant, and it is made known that at the foot of the mountain, the Israelites are creating this golden calf to worship. And God's anger burns hot. And it is this courageous, courageous Moses who says, "Remember your covenant, God. Remember your people." Now, do you think that the Moses at the burning bush could have ever had the gall or the courage to say that to the one true God? We have to take courage, stand for what we believe in, the things of love, the things of grace, the things of Christ. The second thing we have to have a part of us is that when we encounter struggles and difficulties, we bear suffering, we need to recall our purpose. We are human. We will have failings along the way. We will trip up. And when we do that, when many of the times in the future where we fall flat on our face, we have to recall our purpose. When St. Ignatius is in the middle of the Colosseum, he has to recall why he is willing to do this, right? He has to keep reaffirming within himself, this is for Christ. This is for the greater good. And don't you know it's a greater good? By his martyrdom, by his willingness to risk his life and not denounce his faith, thousands got to witness this man not relent and to stand up for what he believed. I believe those types of stories push forward the cause of Christ so far. God's able to use those tragic circumstances, the most wondrous ways and means that God can work. And so we face difficulty. When we hear we have a disease, when we hear our family members and friends having hard times, losing their job, not being able to find a home, loss of a child or a sibling, we recall our purpose, that we are agents of God's grace in this world. The third thing we must take, we must receive from those that have gone before us, who have taught us about sacrifice and risk, is endurance. Now, I'm not a runner. Y'all are supposed to laugh because it's obvious. I can walk 20 miles, but I would rather not run one. Amen, that's right, brother. But runners understand endurance. They understand what goal they want to get to and how they need to run in order to get there. How fast they need to go at one point, how they need to slow it down, how they need to take breaths, and how they need to get to their goal. Endurance is what gets them to go the distance of where they want to be. And so is the same with us. We have to have endurance with how we push forward with our faith. Think of Paul, a man who had to have great endurance in his life. After beating after beating, imprisonment after imprisonment, he had to have that endurance that God can give to push forward, to go that extra mile, to put one foot in front of the other. And I think with endurance, it's one of those things where you have to understand your body. A runner understands their body, what the limitations are, how far they can really go, how far they can push. And we have to understand ours. We have to understand what our weaknesses are, what our struggles will be, what our gifts are, what our strengths are. And by knowing that, we can better understand who we are. And when we fill it with that grace of God, we can have that endurance. One of the greatest metaphors, I think, we are provided comes from the letter of Ephesians, putting on the full armor of God. And in a way, putting on that full armor of God is equipping yourself for endurance. Put on the belt of truth to push back the lies of the world. You put on the shoes of peace to push against violence and hatred and war. You take on the shield of faith that can be there to go against anything that would see to shake your foundation. You put on the breastplate of righteousness, where you reject, repent, and push away the sins that grounded you in your past. You put on the helmet of salvation, that instead of telling you that you're worthless, you're totally bad, you deserve nothing, when you put on that helmet, that's God telling you that God loves you, that God sees you as a child. God wants to change and transform you. And then with that sword of the gospel, the word of God, oftentimes we kind of twist that one a little bit in a different way. Sometimes we use the Bible as a weapon. Sometimes we take little bitty passages and we use them to strip people and cut them. That's not the purpose of that sword. The sword of the gospel is to pierce away, cut away all of the things that would be against the fact that God loves you and God wants you to be like Christ. Those things that are equipped on us, that armor, they help us endure. They help us get to where we need. Give us the strength to push forward. If we have the courage, if we recall our purpose, if we have endurance, there's one more left, and it's critical. All those folks in the past who risked, sacrificed everything, called on the Holy Spirit. Without any of it, all of it's worthless unless the Holy Spirit is a part of it. Do you think that St. Ignatius was able to stand in the middle of the Colosseum with wild beasts, thousands, mocking him, and not have the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit was what gave him the courage. The Holy Spirit was what allowed him to recall his purpose. The Holy Spirit was what gave him the endurance. And that's what we have to have. That's the key. All the apostles in the book of Acts doing all these wonderful things of spreading the gospel, of healing, getting through beatings. They made it because the Holy Spirit was there. All things are possible with the Holy Spirit. But the one thing that can cut against us, the one thing that can prevent us from truly calling on the Holy Spirit into our heart, is our ego and our pride. Our ego and pride that tells us we can do it ourselves. We can do it alone. We don't need help. We don't need God. That is always against the gospel. The gospel always says we need God. We need God's grace. We can't do it without it. The Holy Spirit comes upon us when we submit. When we say, I need you, God. I can't do this alone. I can't do this by myself. I need your strength. That, my brothers and sisters, is what we have to do. And when we have that Holy Spirit that we've called upon us, we can possess the courage, recall our purpose, and have the endurance to make it through great trials. And just like the past 2,000 years, all of those people working in the past to push forward those great attributes into the future. From the past will come the future. What it holds, a mystery, unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. All the wondrous things that we are doing in the life of the church to help others, we are doing in this present time, are because of the people in our past that helped push forward those ideals and actions and way of living. And now we have the responsibility to push it forward into the future. And nobody said it better than the writer of Hebrews. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ has been there all along, aiding, helping, giving. Who knows what God will be up to in the future? My brothers and sisters, let us wrap around those ideals we have gotten from those of the past so that we may be able to be a part of it. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand as we sing our final hymn, Be Thou My Vision, hymn number 451. Those that are hoping to come forward to have a time of prayer at our altar rail, or those who would like to recommit their life to Christ, or if you've never professed your faith, we would love and welcome you here at the front. Thank you. Holy Spirit in the good times. Call on the Holy Spirit in the bad times. Call on the Holy Spirit when you wake up refreshed and joyous. Call on the Holy Spirit when you are down and being buried with muck. The Holy Spirit will always find a way to free you and to show you the love and the purpose you've been given. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.